So cool to see all those kids and to have them sing to us. You know, it is just really, really good to be with everyone together this Christmas Eve morning as we have this combination of our 8:30 and our 10 o'clock kind of all together here. We don't get to do that very often, and so it's really nice to see everyone together. We're doing things a little bit differently, if you haven't picked that up this morning. For one thing, I'm bringing the message earlier than normal, but that's for a reason, and you'll understand why in just a bit. Don't worry, we're still going to be singing some Christmas songs and worshiping in song and all that. It's all coming, but we're just kind of starting a different direction for a reason. I read an article a few weeks ago online by a man named Phil Ayers. It's an article that I just came across, and the title of the article is What Jesus Wants for His Birthday. And I don't really know who Phil Ayers is, actually, but the article drew my interest because of the title, and the article itself was a pretty good article as well. It drew my attention because it was so close to the direction I felt like God was leading us to go in the message series that we've been in. We've been in a series called Present Yourself, where we actually have been looking at ourselves as the present this year. The present that we can be to Jesus. And that's what we've been talking about over these weeks, trying to focus on that more than the gifts that we give or the gifts that we receive, but how can we be a present to him? I want to read to you just the first couple lines of that article that I found because I think it's pretty pertinent to where we're at today. It says this. He says, when my kids were younger, we encouraged them to make up a Christmas list each year. They would get pencil and paper and pour through toy store catalogs listing all the things they wanted. Remember the old toy catalogs? I remember looking through those when I was a kid. That was a kind of a more innocent time. That's my input to the article. Let me go on with what he says. He said, one year my son asked me, how come on my birthday you buy me presents and on Jesus' birthday you still buy me presents? Doesn't Jesus want something for his birthday? That's such a great question. What would Jesus want for Christmas? After all, Christmas is a celebration of his birth. Those are pretty pertinent lines, aren't they? And friends, if you've been here over the past few Sundays, then you know that you can kind of tell why maybe I was intrigued by that article. It's essentially been our question through this month of December. What do we give to Jesus since it's his birthday and not our birthday? And the ultimate answer to that question has to come back to giving Jesus ourselves. Giving Jesus ourselves. That's the only gift that really, truly is going to matter to Jesus. We've been further answering the question each week by kind of unpacking that, unwrapping that present to answer it in some other ways. And we're going to answer in yet another way today. Today we're going to talk about presenting Jesus with our worship. With our worship. You know, the interesting thing about Christmas seasons and our time today is that although worshiping Jesus, the newborn baby, that's the underlying intent of it all. So many things that happen that we do on Christmas and through the season are kind of counterintuitive to that actually being the case, that we actually are worshiping Jesus. The focus of the season becomes on so many other things like that other than worshiping Jesus, like the gifts for us, the parties for us, the decorations for us, the meals for us, the traditions for us, and all for us. And how much do we actually stop to worship the namesake of Christmas? How much do we stop to worship Christ? So this morning, we're going to spend a little time unwrapping the present of worshiping Jesus, and then we're just going to do it. We're going to spend some time worshiping Jesus, including we're going to receive communion together. If you didn't get a communion cup on your way in, you'll want to at some point grab one of those as I'm speaking because you'll want that this morning. And we'll do some of the singing with some of the Christmas songs, worshiping God, and a couple other things that we'll do. But our worship isn't limited to Christmas songs. It's not limited to words that I say. It's not limited to prayer. The way that we really worship God, we really speak to him, is to serve him, to live our lives for him, and so many other ways. But let's focus a little bit on the gifts this morning. As we look at this morning at what it means to present our worship to Jesus, let's do that by looking at the only presents that Jesus actually received on the time that he was born. It's going to jump us ahead in the story just a little bit, because we're talking about the gifts of the wise men, the gifts of the Magi, and depending on which translation of the Bible that you're using. They actually weren't kings. They were astrologers who looked out, who studied the stars and the patterns of the stars and the events of the day and the prophecies of the day, such as a Messiah being born. They would link those two together, and that's what they would do. They would try to find messages from God. And the wise men actually weren't there on the day of Jesus' birth, like it's often depicted. They were likely there months, maybe more than months later. So they must have stopped at the Dollar Tree, is what I figure, and got one of those 50-cent belated birthday cards. They must have done something like that with their other gifts. Caroline and I are now, you know, a mother and father-in-law. That's a new position we have, and we already kind of made a mistake right away in our new role. Rebecca's new husband Matthew's birthday was December the 6th, and we, like, completely missed it. I mean, to the point that even a belated card wouldn't work. If they had a belated birthday card, then maybe we would have been in good position. Anyway, we're going to look at the wise men and their gift giving to Jesus. They were wise men, and they had some wise gifts. So let's pick up the story where they kind of come in. This is after they've met with King Herod, while they're en route to see Jesus. It's in Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. After listening to the king, to King Herod, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy and going into the house. Do you notice there that it says going into the house, not into the stable? This was after the stable. This is when Mary and Joseph had moved from the manger. They're at a house by the time that the Magi come. It goes on to say, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Also notice that it says child, not baby. This is likely more so toddler Jesus, which means that maybe it's more than months later that they finally arrived before the Magi reached Jesus. But then it goes on to say, then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. We all know those three, right? Now, can we just be a little bit blunt here, friends? Don't these sound like kind of strange gifts, especially for a child? I mean, the gold I get. Even if a child doesn't know what to do with gold, if they receive gold, the world's going to quickly teach them what to do with gold, right? They'll figure that out pretty quickly. But gifts like frankincense and myrrh, what was that? What were they for? Imagine having those, if we brought those gifts to our son-in-law for his birthday. And he probably, of course, liked the gold because they could use that toward another car or paying off school loans or those kind of things. But the other two sound more like essential oils. In fact, I know that frankincense is an essential oil. And I understand that myrrh, I read, is one of the oldest essential oils in recorded history. I don't know in what form the wise men brought these gifts and gave these three gifts. Likely they were spices, but they're all three still around today, so we still know what they are in some form or another. We're going to use these three gifts to help us focus on presenting our worship to Jesus this morning, because they all have significance to it. And I've read different takes on this over the years of the gifts, and you can derive some different meanings from them that it could be given. I'm actually going to look at the article that I read that I talked about earlier, because it gives some ideas as well on that as we kind of focus on the gift of our presenting ourselves to Jesus in worship. So the gift of these wise men, it can lead us to present our worship to Jesus in three ways. The first way is to worship Jesus for his royalty. And that represents the goal, to worship him for his royalty. In ancient days, who would it be that you think would receive a gift of something like gold? Only royalty, right? Only kings and queens would receive gold. These wise men were indeed wise, weren't they? They were acknowledging that Jesus was coming to reign as king. And when they saw the star that lit their way to Jesus, and they studied the prophecy about it, they knew that this was supposed to be a king that had been prophesied to come. Gold was the most important gift that they could give in that day. It was the most precious metal of the time, and it proved their devotion to Jesus. Do you remember what the angel told Mary about Jesus before he was born? Let's take a look in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." To his kingdom there will be no end. If there's a kingdom, there's a king. Jesus may have looked like a pauper. He may have been born like a pauper. He may have come for paupers, but make no mistake about it, he was a king. In fact, he was the king. The king right from the very beginning. So friends, how do we worship the king? How do we do that? We bow down. We submit to him. We humble ourselves. We praise him. Let's look at some other verses in the Bible where they teach about Jesus' royalty, about him as king. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, this is prophecy thousands of years before Jesus is even born. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Where there's a kingdom, there's a king. In Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, more prophecy before Jesus. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was present before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he was inherited is more excellent in theirs." And then from Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, "They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called, chosen, and faithful." Friends, Jesus is royalty. He's the king. How will you present your worship to the king this Christmas Eve morning? You were given a piece of paper when you came in today, this morning. Hopefully you got one. And this paper, it's going to represent you presenting your worship to Jesus today. And with each of these gifts that we talk about, I want us to take a moment and write something down. I don't want you to write your name on this paper, but I want you to write something about worship. I'm going to give you the opportunity to bring these forward to Jesus in a bit and to turn them in some way, so I don't want your name on it. But what I want you to do is, if you would, is write first of all a word or a phrase that shares your worship to Jesus as king, as royalty. So take just a moment and do that. Take the piece of paper you have. There should be a pen in the seat in front of you. Write a sentence or a word about giving praise, your worship to Jesus as your king. I'm going to give you a moment to do that. leave space on there because you'll have two more that you'll put on that paper. And you can use both sides of it if needed. But all right, I want to go on to the next one. You can keep working on that if you need to. Let's look at the second way to present our worship to Jesus. Worship Jesus for his deity. And that's what frankincense represents. Jesus isn't only king, friends. Jesus is God. He's God. God is three in one. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all separate parts are with separate purpose and duty, but all parts of one God, none without the other. The gift of frankincense that the wise men gave represents the deity of Jesus, the godness of Jesus. When frankincense is burned as an incense, it has a very specific smell. And do you know where it was used? The only place it was used in a mixture of an incense, only to be used in the tabernacle. In the days of Moses, when God's people wandered in the wilderness, they set up a tent that was the tabernacle, the meeting place with God. It was before the temple was even built, they had this tabernacle, this tent, and the only place where God would be present, they would meet with him. And listen to this description of that in Exodus chapter 30, verses 34 through 38. The Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacte and onycha and jalbaldium, sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be an equal part. And make an incense blended with the by the perfumer, seasoned with salt, pure and holy. You shall beat some of it in it very small and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting where I shall meet with you. It shall be most holy for you. And the incense that you shall make according to this its composition, you shall not make for yourselves. It shall not be it shall be for you holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to use as a perfume shall be cut off from his people. Frankincense comes from a mixture that's only to be used before the Lord, and these magi bring it to Jesus. Did the magi know the representation of all three of these gifts? I don't know if they knew that or not, but I do know that God knew, and God's the one that sent them to greet his son, led them by the star to greet Jesus. So I assure you that these gifts have been inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they're bringing them. Listen to the only thing that John teaches in his gospel about the coming of Jesus. He doesn't give any details of Mary and Joseph. John doesn't. Or of Bethlehem, or of the manger, not even the star. He doesn't talk about any of those. Likely John already knew that had been covered by Luke and Matthew and other gospels. But listen to what John does say about Jesus coming. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What or who is it that John's referring to here when he uses the word with a capital W, which signifies a name? He's talking about Jesus. He's referring to Jesus. Jesus is the Word, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus is God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus was not anything made that was made. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, has not overcome Jesus. Let's look at what some other scriptures teach us about Jesus being God. We've already looked at it, but let's look at part of Isaiah chapter 9, just verse 6 now. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is God. John 10, 29 through 30, words of Jesus says, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of his hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus is God, his deity. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and from whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all are all things and through whom we exist. Friends, Jesus is God, and we present our worship to him as the deity that he is. So now I want you to take a moment with that piece of paper, that card you have, and write a word or a phrase presenting your worship of worship as Jesus, as God, as God. Take a moment and do that. Some word or phrase worshiping Jesus as God. People who are maybe at home watching can put something on Facebook if you would like as well, a word of praise or worship. Let's go on to take a look at the third way to present our worship to Jesus that we learned from the Magi gifts. The third is this: worship Jesus for his sacrifice, and that's what the word myrrh connects us to, or the gift of myrrh. Not only is Jesus the king, not only is he God himself, but Jesus is the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for our sins. We worship Jesus because he gave himself. He sacrificed himself on a cross for us. That's not just the Easter story, friends. That's the story. That's the story of Jesus. It's why Jesus came. It's why that baby was born in Bethlehem, to pay the wages of sin, both yours and mine and those for all in the world. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is a price that needs to be paid for your sin, for my sin, for the sin of the world, a wage that has to be earned for our disobedience to God. And God sent his son to come and to pay that price. From the beginning, friends, the plan in Jesus and Jesus' coming that we celebrate was all about the death, about the resurrection of Jesus that he would experience. This is what the gift of myrrh was given to represent. Myrrh is a common resin that's found in the Middle East that comes from cutting into a tree from the species of the Camphora myrrha tree and collecting the sap after it's hardened. The sap becomes hard and it becomes somewhat glossy, and it can be used for all kinds of things, including medicine. The curiosity is why would these magi bring this particular spice to baby Jesus? Kind of like the other two gifts. What kind of gift is this for a child? Well, friends, it represents what was coming for Jesus, not what was present for Jesus in that moment. The gift is the foreshadowing of things that were to come, because myrrh is also used as a burial spice. Listen to this from the crucifixion account of Jesus, this one portion. Listen to this in John chapter 19, verses 38 through 40. After these things, after he had died, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. From the very start, friends, from the very start, Jesus came to be the Lamb of God. He came to be the sacrifice, to be that lamb for us. From the very start, Jesus came to die. And it was foretold even in his Christmas gifts, his birthday gifts. I mean, happy birthday, Jesus. Happy birthday, Jesus. Here's some myrrh representing your burial. Does that sound morbid? Actually, it's not. It sounds very purposeful. Very purposeful. Jesus came for a purpose, to fix the epidemic of sin, to reconcile you and me and others to God. I think we ought to present our worship to him for that. That's what I think. I think we ought to present our worship, don't you? So let's look at a few verses that spell this out a bit more to us. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. A lot of people know the first part of this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. He came that the world might be saved through him. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Jesus himself speaking, he says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. What's a ransom? It's a payment. It's a payment to free others. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 through 14, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Friends, the gift of Jesus is that he sacrificed himself for you and for me. He came to die. How do we present our worship to him? Paul tells us one way that we do that, and in another place in Scripture, in Romans chapter 12, 1, it's a Scripture you've heard me share often, but he said, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You want me to give it to you simply, friends? Here it is simply. Do you want to give Jesus a gift for Christmas, for his birthday? Do you want to give him a gift that he would really, really want, that would really, really matter, that he would really, really love to have? Then here it is. Here it is simply. Live for him. Live for him. Sacrifice yourself and your own selfish will and live for him. That's how we present our worship to Jesus. That right there, that's it. Any other worship presented to him without living for him, it's like a white elephant gift. It's something that's unwanted and pretty worthless, right? Now, I want you to take your piece of paper one more time, and if you would, write a word or a phrase that represents this present of worship, worshiping Jesus for being your sacrifice. Write a word or phrase to give him praise. So friends, we're presenting our worship to Jesus today and as his Christmas gift. And worship certainly isn't only singing, as we've said before. It's not only praying or even listening to someone preach. Worship is living our life for Jesus, and it's expressed through how we serve him, how we love him, how we work, how we relate, how we talk, how we think, how we behave, and so much more, all interwoven in our life as an offering of ourselves as a sacrifice to him. It's living holy in a way that pleases God. It's worship that's true. That's what worship true and proper is. We're going to use the rest of our time this morning to express this worship to Jesus and using three kind of more formal methods. We're going to worship him by receiving communion together. We're then going to worship him and singing some Christmas songs of worship together. We're going to do that. And then while we worship, I'm going to give you an opportunity to take what you've written and actually present it to Jesus. And before we do any of that, let's stop and pray together. Lord God, I want to thank you that you are our sacrifice, that you are God, and that you are our King. God, I thank you because this whole Christmas season is about you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you were God in the flesh. And as God in the flesh, you represent all three of these things, and you gave your whole life for us, that we could be in relationship with you and with God the Father. And if there's anyone this morning who hasn't experienced the present of Jesus to us, Jesus giving himself for us, and that wants to invite Jesus in their life today, I invite you to do that simply by saying, Jesus, here I am. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for sacrificing yourself for me. Come into my heart today and lead me. Now, God, help us to focus on Jesus as our present, as we present ourselves to you in worship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Friends, if you'll look at the cup that you have, on the top is the bread, inside is the juice, and just look at that for a moment and realize that this bread represents the body of Christ that's been broken for you. And if you think of a baby being born, you don't think about that baby as being someone who's going to be sacrificed. But every time, if you'll peel back and take that piece of bread, every time we look at this bread, Jesus says, remember. Remember what I came to do. Remember my body broken for you. And as we worship him today, will you take and eat? Take and eat. If you'll peel back to the juice, if you think of some of you know the old hymn, what will wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's his blood shed for us that makes us clean. It's the first time that something red makes something clear, that it can wash us clean, and it washes our hearts clean. Jesus died. Jesus was born, but he died so that we could know God. So every time you take and drink this, remember his presence to you. Take and drink and remember Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to continue worshiping, and what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing a few Christmas songs. And I know that we hear Christmas songs this time of year so much that sometimes we're really done with them by the end of the season. Don't be done with this today. Let's use these songs in a way that really worships Jesus, that really worships him. And as we do that, I've mentioned most weeks this gift that's here on the stage, this present that's here, telling you that this represents us, right? This box represents you and me. We're just plain like the paper that it's wrapped in. And we have bows trying to make ourselves look good, maybe. But Jesus makes us something special. And we are just presenting ourselves before him. That's what we've talked about. And so what I want you to do while we sing, if you fill out some things on that card, then we put a whole one to the top of this gift. And it's going to sit right here on the floor in the center so you can come from both directions. And if you will, find your card. Mine's here. I did mine earlier. And just drop it inside this box. Just as we sing, at any point, we're going to sing three or four songs. At any point as we're singing, you can come forward and stick it in this box. And here, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do with that. We're actually going to use that this afternoon and tonight. I'm going to pull some of those out as we are worshiping at our Christmas Eve candlelight services today. And I want to read some of those things about our worship to God that we've just shared together as the family of God. It's going to be a really beautiful moment, and I hope that you, we're not going to read all of them, but I'll pull a few of them out. Hope that you bring some forward. So I'm going to put this down front. Mike and the team's going to lead us in some praise. Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's worship him as our present to him. Friends, you are the present. You are the present. We present ourselves to Jesus. We present to him our worship. And it's been a real present for me to watch all the people coming up putting cards in here. Such a beautiful sight this morning. And I know that God is pleased as well. So we present ourselves to Jesus Jesus, we present you all of our worship. And if you didn't hear your favorite Christmas song this morning, you have to come back. We had to save some. So at 4 and 11 tonight, we're going to continue singing some great Christmas songs. We're going to talk some more about this incredible story. And we are going to end with beautiful candlelight and silent night. So I hope that we'll see you at 4 or 11 or both. I'll be here for both. Rich Randolph is going to be helping put a few more chairs in. We're having being expectant for 4 o'clock and 11. So if you want to help him add another row of chairs to the sections, we'd appreciate that. But be blessed today. Enjoy the day. Enjoy your families. Enjoy what this season is meant to be all about. Enjoy Jesus. Merry Christmas. We love you. We'll see you later.